Did all those car dealerships really need to go?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A new report on the financial bailout program says the government pressured car companies to close too many dealerships too fast. The watchdog for the program says those closed dealerships hurt the economy. Marketplace's John Dimsdale joins us live from Washington. Morning, John.
Hello, Bill.
What does this report criticize specifically?
Well, the special inspector, Neil Barofsky, blames the Treasury Department for not giving enough attention to the economic fallout to local economies. By ordering these quick dealer cutbacks, Barofsky says the government potentially added tens of thousands of workers to local unemployment rolls, all based on a theory that it would help the company's profitability.
Well, John, take us back then to 2009. Why were the car companies getting pressured to close dealerships?
Well, the conventional wisdom at the time was that the failing car makers had a bloated number of dealerships. So when the government used TARP money to bail out the companies, it rejected GM and Chrysler's initial plans to gradually phase out around 2,700 local dealerships over 5 years. So that forced GM and Chrysler to come back with a more drastic schedule, essentially shutting down 2,200 dealers right away.
And is the government now defending its decision?
It is. They say this report is too narrow, that it doesn't factor in the overall effect on the jobs saved by keeping GM and Chrysler in business. Not only did the dealership downsizing save hundreds of thousands of factory jobs, Treasury says that it also stabilized the car parts industry and preserved the savings of millions of retired investors who depend on their stock in GM and Chrysler.
Interesting controversy. Marketplace's John Dimsdale, thank you.
You're welcome.
Remember those headlines a few months ago about another controversy, so-called Climate Gate? Leaked emails between some climate scientists led to accusations that data were being fudged. Since then, a slew of investigations have cleared the scientists of any academic misconduct. Still, the affair got scientists thinking. Maybe they need a little work on their brand. Marketplace's Chrissy Clark has the story.
Maybe you've seen the ads. A round-cheeked little boy in a baseball uniform peers through a magnifying glass at a cluster of daisies. It's supposed to be a younger version of biologist David Inouye.
People will look twice at that little boy in a Little League uniform, whereas they might not look twice at a picture of the real me, a 60-year-old scientist.
Inouye says the idea is to put a human face, an adorable one, on climate scientists like him. The ads point you to a website where you can read more about their work. Kevin Knobloch runs the Union of Concerned Scientists, the group behind the campaign. He says many of his members have been under attack lately.
Some climate scientists have received death threats, a drumbeat of really disturbing kinds of emails from people who are often anonymous.
Knobloch wants that to change once people understand who these scientists are and what motivates them. While science needs to stick to the cold facts, he hopes to shift public opinion with a warm feeling. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
Let's check the opinion of stock investors. Well, European markets are higher now, even though the ratings agency Moody's downgraded Ireland's credit rating today. European investors seem to be betting on a Wall Street comeback today after the 261-point debacle on Friday. The Dow ended Friday at 10,097. This morning, the oil and gas service company Halliburton said its profits soared 83% last quarter. So no bottom line damage yet from Halliburton's work on the ill-fated BP oil well. Asian markets were mostly lower today.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender. Monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market. And by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com.
The new healthcare law will not start controlling costs for at least a few years. In the meantime, there's an organization in Tijuana, Mexico, that would like to save you money on care. Kevin Ferguson has that.
For decades, Americans have headed south to Mexico for cheap prescription drugs and dental work. But a liver transplant or back surgery? Most patients say no thanks. Patrick Osio wants to change their minds.
Outside of the United States, there are more American students in medical schools in Mexico than anywhere else in the world. And they certainly go back and practice medicine in the United States. And so the training that the Mexican doctor receives is top-notch.
Osio is vice president of the Baja California Medical Tourism Association, which formed in 2008. The organization is sort of a mix between a PR firm and an accreditation service. It reviews and certifies healthcare providers in Baja California and refers American patients to the region's hospitals and doctors, places like Excel Medical Center in Tijuana. From the inside, Excel looks like your average American hospital, high-tech equipment, spotless floors. Jose Hernandez is CEO of Excel and a cardiovascular surgeon. He says given our two nations' political and trade partnerships, Mexico is America's best option for medical tourism.
We could be more accountable if it's a bad result of whatever happens to the citizen in the United States.
Hernandez says many of Excel's patients are uninsured Americans, people like Dwayne Walker of San Antonio, Texas. When he needed a triple bypass, he contacted a medical tourism group called World Medicist. Not long after, he was on a plane to Tijuana.
We knew the doctors involved were U.S. trained and were quite competent. We really didn't have any reservations in that regard.
Walker saved almost $100,000 on his heart surgery. But Judy Dugan of Consumer Watchdog says there's no way to know how safe these procedures are.
Being that medical facilities can look gorgeous, the doctor's credentials can look good, but, you know, really, you can't tell.
Dugan agrees that the choice is up to consumers. But as domestic healthcare costs continue to climb and companies try to save money, that might soon change. In Tijuana, I'm Kevin Ferguson for Marketplace.
Some employers are warming to the idea of medical tourism for their workers. Kevin will have that part of the story tomorrow. And finally, paved roads were once a sign of prosperity and progress. Now, the Wall Street Journal reports the recession is leading us back to gravel. The price of asphalt cement has doubled in the last decade. And rather than fix potholes, many rural governments are grinding the pavement back into little rocks. Someday, the dust and the bumpy ride and the cracked windshields will lead to calls to repave those roads. And that is how you will know the economy has recovered. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. Tweeting at Bill Radke Radio, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.